This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:06 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 18th of March. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dr. Farinderjit Singh, chairman of Tricor Malaysia on tax reforms, following the World Bank's report yesterday on the need for Malaysia to diversify its revenue collection. But before that, markets.
Well, in the US, we had a record day. Initially, it was down, but due to the Fed notes and I think keeping interest rates, they were all up. Dow up 0.6%, S&P 500 up 0.3%, Nasdaq up 0.4%. Crossing over to the Pacific, in Asia, relatively a mixed bag. Nikkei flat, down 0.02%, Hang Seng up 0.02%, Shanghai Composite down 0.03%, Singapore up 0.1%, KLCA up 0.06%. Relatively small change.
Yeah, I think everybody was paying attention to what the Feds were intending to say. So far, what we do know is the Fed has indicated that it intends to hold rates close to zero until 2024. So Chairman Jerome Powell announced that it had sharply upgraded the U.S. economic outlook, forecasting growth this year to reach 6.5%. compared to 4.2% that was projected in December. Now, the Fed also upgraded forecasts for the labour market, which is a key indicator they are looking at, with unemployment expected to fall to 4.5% as at the end of 2021, compared to 5% that we saw in December.
Right, so the decision comes amid growing optimism about the US economy in the wake of Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion US dollar fiscal stimulus and the country's swift vaccination rollout. So better economic prospects have raised concerns over rising inflation, which has also seen Treasury yields soar in recent weeks. While the Fed acknowledged a bump in inflation this year, they expect it to be short-lived. Inflation was to hit 2.2% and fall to 2% in 2022.
Yeah, but there's always this distinction, right, as to the nature of the inflation. Is it price inflation or is it wage inflation? Because you want to see wage inflation before the Feds actually start, you know, taking raising interest rates. But in the meantime, for a view on where global markets are heading, this morning we are turning to Song Seng Woon, economist with CIMB Private Banking. Good morning. Now, I just want to ask you, what were your key takeaways from the Fed meeting last night?
Just reading through the comments since I was asleep when the meeting and briefing was being held, it seems and sounds like Chairman Powell remains fairly consistent that while signs of improvement economy is showing up, labor market remains, only on the way to recovery. Any sort of signs of inflation or inflationary pressure from higher commodity prices, costs, and pass-through will likely be temporary. So he's still holding on to his earlier views and reiterating the same theme, that inflation is temporary and interest rate remains and likely to remain very accommodative. Interest rate near zero or perhaps it will be this year and into next year. So consistent in maintaining that view that you don't see inflation as a sustained risk to the economic recovery.
And what does this mean for rates in Asia? How do you think central banks here will react? Will they just keep interest rates pat as well too, since the Feds aren't moving the needle?
Yeah, I suppose, well, US central bank matters. We still got the Bank of England, Bank of Japan, and quite a few other central banks here meeting, including the Bank of Indonesia and Taiwan later on. For us and around the region, it still will obviously be how well the economy is doing, to what extent we see labor growth recovering, and to what extent that recovery in labor growth as economies see a pickup in activities, as restriction are eased, get passed through in terms of wages expectation, and whether they are anchored or not. So on all those counts, the plus side is growth is coming as restriction are eased, but it's very bumpy, as we've seen. Some countries around have seen the infection of COVID cases climbing again. Some have better controls. So it's very uneven still around. So what does that mean for government policies? I think it still will remain very accommodative. by and large, on the fiscal side, we continue to see government providing support. Indeed, the KL government just announced another package to just continue to remain supportive of the recovery. So central banks around, I think, will continue to do so until they see more solid and broad signs, broad-based recovery being more entrenched. So at least from the Fed standpoint, there was a bit reassuring, which is why we're seeing the equity market sign relief, and that will probably spill over to us over here. But we will still be watching to what extent the higher costs that we're seeing on the ground, businesses are and have faced higher costs, to what extent that get passed on to the consumer, whether those are indeed temporary, because we are seeing them rising from lower base, and to what extent that get entrenched.
Right.
So it will still be a challenging few months ahead.
Yeah, so Seng-Woon, just you said just not going, spilling over to Southeast Asia. What are your expectations of the asset classes that ASEAN investors are going to look at besides equities for higher returns, since now low global interest rates seem to be the case?
Yeah. Well, normally I would say, okay, we are now at the start of a new growth cycle. The growth cycle, which was maturing, significantly towards the end of 2019, and obviously pandemic took the wind out of the economy and tripped the economy around the world into recession. We are on the start of a new growth cycle, which typically means, growth stocks, cyclical stocks getting a lift. And that still remains the case, but obviously, at this juncture, not all economies are getting the same lift. We know aviation, transportation, logistics is still going to be facing significant headwind yet. But if we are at the start and it's somewhat uneven, it's kind of not too early to continue to position oneself in there. The rates will rise from the very depressed rates at this point. Do you switch up from REITs? Not necessarily all. Because there will be some which will be able to get on and pass on the higher rentals, etc., as well. So I would say it's still fairly supportive of almost all classes with a growth, better. Well, obviously, as far as the bond markets are concerned, risk of higher rates is still over the horizon. So one has to be picky on that side. But otherwise, I would still say fairly supportive when we are at the start of a new growth cycle.
All right, and bringing this conversation closer to where you are, because, let's talk about currency, because China, of course, is one of Singapore's key trading partners. So could the recent strengthening of the Chinese yuan affect trade balance between Singapore and China then?
Well, good question. Back to the original point, China is the largest trade partner with many countries, and obviously Singapore is one of them, a key trading partner. Singapore is a trading hub. I would say less of an issue in terms of the currency side with Singapore. As long as the economic recovery becomes more entrenched, obviously some sectors are doing a lot better, export-oriented side, and some services less well in terms of, say, aviation services. But broadly speaking, with the economy expected to do better, it should be reflected also in the currency as well, except on the flip side, for now, it is still a case of US dollar calling the shots. To what extent rise higher rates remain supportive of a US dollar, or whether the risk on in terms of regional growth being seen as strengthened regional currencies, including, say, the ringgit or even the Malaysian, ringgit and the Sing dollar, which obviously also means that with the regional growth being stronger, even the Chinese currency get a lift as well. I would say at this point, it probably will not make that much difference, because tightening or strengthening a currency would not necessarily mean that Singapore products are less competitive. It is because we are not producing the same thing that are being produced elsewhere. It was always going to be more expensive to produce goods and services in Singapore, irregardless, because it's a small, tiny city-state, scarce resources, labor, land. So costs will always be higher. So product will still be priced higher. It is that those products and services are product that you'll not necessarily be able to get elsewhere. And so I would say that's of an issue when it comes to currency, but it's still obviously worth watching that it shouldn't get out of line from the fundamentals. So I think that's more important than just the relative strength.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Song Seng-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking, giving us his views on the recent appreciation of the Chinese yuan and what does it mean for the Singapore economy. Now, what's interesting about the Singapore economy is they use currency as a lever. That's their monetary policy as opposed to interest rates. They are one unusual country out there, but that's you can only do that if you have a lot of reserves and you know that there will be no traders attacking it. So, but his point is basically, it looks like interest rates, even in this region, are going to take its cue from the Fed and do nothing for a while because, let's face it, I think everyone's pretty optimistic that global recovery is here. So there's no point actually using your monetary policy to kind of drive economic growth anymore.
That's right. I think you're going to see that shift in, I think, deeper economic growth. US forecast was very high, actually, at 6%, although there were earlier assumptions about 10% even. But I think Jerome Powell was kind of moderating it down to about 6%.
Yeah, I think he doesn't want to talk up the economy. Just look at how well the equity markets have done.
Incredible.
Yeah, but very quickly, Baidu is having a secondary listing in Hong Kong coming up very soon, raising $3.1 billion. They're already listed in US, by the way, so it's another secondary listing. But up next, we'll be discussing what a reform of the Malaysian tax system could look like. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.